Welcome to Finding God's Grace with Catholic storyteller, author, and Hall of Fame broadcaster Tony Agnese. Join Tony and his guests as they share experiences of God's extraordinary grace in their lives. Now, here's your host, Tony Agnese.
Hi, this is Tony Agnese, and welcome to this edition of Finding God's Grace. And welcome to Lent. We've got a great interview for you to start out our show with Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosia, author of the book, 40 Days in 40 Ways. So if you've been looking for a new way to do some things kind of differently for Lent, be listening to Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio and his book, 40 Days in 40 Ways. And then an old friend stops by who's got a great podcast called Blind Faith Live. His name is Philip Keller. And for those of you people who are in Northeast Ohio, you might remember him as Trapper Jack from the radio in Cleveland and in Pittsburgh. So we've got Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosia and Trapper Jack, Philip Keller, as our guests on this edition of Finding God's Grace. Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosia is a world-renowned commentator on religious issues. Dr. Italy, as he's called, is well-known on Catholic radio and television, and he's got a great website, and he's got a pilgrimage that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But as we enter into Lent here on Ash Wednesday, he has got a great new book out called 40 Days, 40 Ways, A New Look at Lent. Marcelino, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
It is a pleasure indeed. And happy Lent to you.
Happy Lent to you, too. You know, as a kid, you always think of Lent as, giving something up, you know. And I remember as a kid, I would give up candy. And then on Easter Sunday, I'd have this great big basket of chocolate that I would gorge myself with for, like, the next 3 days. And then as I got a little older, I gave up things that were out of season, like watermelon.
That's very noble of you.
Broccoli and asparagus and so forth. Well, that's not what your book is about, is it? It's not about just what we're giving up.
Absolutely not. You know, there's a lot more to Lent. I think if you really want to understand the season, you got to kind of see what the original meaning of Lent was. Well, that's kind of where we start in this book, is trying to recapture the original meaning of Lent.
So where did Lent come from? Where did it come from, Lent?
Well, let's say this. You know, we know, everyone knows that that Lent is 40 days. And actually, the name for Lent, the word for the season in Latin, in Italian, in Spanish, it's simply the 40. That's the name of the season. Mm-hmm. So, like, what is this 40 days all about anyway? And people, when I ask that question, they always just immediately pipe up and say, well, Jesus is in the desert fasting. Fighting the devil for 40 days. That's why Lent's 40 days. I said, that's right. But, you know, if I were going to figure out a time to fast, I would probably pick maybe 3 days or maybe 7 days. 40 days, why 40, you know?
What's the significance of 40? Yeah.
People ask, the Israelites, didn't they wander for 40 years? I said, yep. But why was it 40 years? Well, Noah, 40 days or the nights of rain. Yeah, but why? So there's something even before all these 40s in the Old Testament and Jesus that tell us something important about what Lent's supposed to be about. And that is, 40 in nature is a very important number. And if, our wives would know this very quickly, if any mother would know this quickly, because 40 is the number of weeks of full-term pregnancy. 40 is the number of new births. Or the time before new birth, when something's growing and being formed and being shaped, and it may not be very comfortable to be the host of this or to watch this, but when it's all over, man, it is definitely worth it. Mm-hmm. So Lent's supposed to be a time of formation, of growth, of development. And so it's not just this time of giving up or self-denial in the sense of, oh, man, I'm just going to forego something pleasant and torture myself. That's not really the point, although fasting is part of all this. You know, a mother, an expectant mother does some fasting, but she's doing some fasting for a reason. She's maybe, moving back from little caffeine consumption or a little wine consumption, because she wants everything to be just right for this, for the new life that's in within her. So when we fast during Lent, fasting is actually not the most important part of the whole deal, but it's one of the three pillars of the season. But what we're really doing is, if you think about, a 90-day challenge in the gym, do people fast? Yeah, they don't call it fasting. They call it maybe dieting. Mm-hmm. They change their diet. But the whole idea is they're trying to get rid of some fat They're trying to build some muscle. They're exercising, they're not just dieting, because at the end, they want to be younger, sleeker, faster, you know, more vital. And that's that whole idea of a gym challenge. Well, this is a spiritual 40-day exercise challenge, and we're really supposed to be fasting, but also positively exercising some spiritual muscles, which we call the virtues. That's why prayer and almsgiving are really important. So you put the whole package together, and what you really are supposed to get is supposed to be a life-changing experience, not just, you know, another lap around the desert like the Israelites kept doing for 40 years. No, we're supposed to be making progress towards the promised land.
What you know, I'll tell you a little story, and this is last Ash Wednesday, a year ago. I'm in Florida in Naples, which is this very upscale.
I love Naples,
right? So I'm at this big parish in Naples, and the priest gets up to get his homily, and he starts his homily by saying, "Now, I've had about 40 phone calls this week as to how old do you have to be before you don't have to fast again." And he says, "As I look out in the group here, all of you qualify. You don't have to fast anymore." So there's this kind of fixation on the rules, right? And then at the end of Mass, he says, "Now, you know, it is Ash Wednesday, and we abstain from meat. So if you go to the Turtle Club tonight, don't get the sirloin." So that was how he ended his Mass. So just so happened, we were at the Turtle Club that night, and there's this elderly couple sitting at a table next to us, and the waiter, we're waiting for him to come over. He's waiting for him to take their order. And the guy says, "I'll have the large sirloin." And his wife corrected him, and she said, "No, Father said you shouldn't have the sirloin today. We're abstaining." And he said, "Okay, then I'll have the lobster."
That's very, very noble also. Yeah, see, for me, a lobster would be ahead of the sirloin.
Me too.
It wouldn't be much of a sacrifice.
I guess the point is, why are we so fixated on the rule book and not on really what we should be thinking about?
Well, that's kind of what my book's about. It gives us 40 ideas that are new ways to package together prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Because we oftentimes keep doing the same old, you know, whether it's the minimum of the law or, you know, giving up chocolate or whatever. A lot of times we don't figure out what we're going to do till halfway through Lent, and then we just revert to the same old. So this is meant to give everyone a shot at being proactive, of really getting some new ideas for Lent that will actually propel us forward. So we don't just go back to gorging ourselves on chocolate and sweets at the end of Lent. What we really do is we find ourselves in a new place. We're changed. We're different. We've established new habits that now feel good. Even though when we started them, they might have been difficult. Now they feel great. Just like after, you know, going to the gym the first few times when you've been sedentary, it hurts like heck the next day. But after a while, oh my gosh, it feels great. You feel bad if you don't go to the gym. Well, these are new spiritual exercises that you can implement during Lent, but you can keep going. And they can become part of your lifestyle. That's really the goal, I think, of this book and the goal of what Lent's supposed to be.
The book is 40 Days, 40 Ways, A New Look at Lent by our guest, Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio. And give us a little example. I you know, without giving away the whole book here, give us an example of a couple of things that we could look differently at, something that we might either add to our day that we might continue even after Easter.
Okay, well, here's one. You know, almsgiving. When you think of almsgiving, you think about putting money in the basket or putting a few coins aside for the missions or something. And that's almsgiving for sure. But almsgiving really means doing good. It means charity, reaching out in love. So here is one of the suggestions. Look around you and decide who is the person at work or school, in the neighborhood, you know, wherever you tend to spend time. Who is the person who is most left out, least honored, least popular, least, you know, just the one least likely to succeed? And reach out to that person. Make a concerted effort on a regular basis to smile, to ask questions, to make sure you know that person's name and use it to let them know that they're important. That is one of the Lenten disciplines that you can choose. You know, imagine if in our parishes and our neighborhoods, if everybody embraced that habit, made that part of the fundamental way they operate, we would not have any problem with the churches, except that we wouldn't have enough room because everyone who came would want to stay. Everyone would want to join a church where they felt loved and accepted like that. And that's really why the early church grew the way it did. And I think that would be awesome if we embraced that.
So instead of a few coins in the basket, what we're giving is our time and attention and love and concern to someone.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that really does change it. The idea of a devotional or meditations and so forth, and I know a lot of people use those during Lent. I do, and sometimes you kind of get caught up in the same approach. And is it sometimes a good idea just to kind of change it up a bit?
Yeah, or enrich it. You know, in the book, one of the things that I do is suggest that people. Whether they've ever said the rosary before or never said the rosary. The rosary is a kind of classic Catholic devotion. It's a beautiful devotion. But, you know, how about deepening the meditation on the rosary? There's a little book called The Scriptural Rosary that some people who are listening may know about. Others may not. It's wonderful because it has a little scripture text between each Hail Mary, and it helps you to focus in on the mystery. And I recommend it. I make it available in the back of, you know, a place where people can order it. But doing that even one decade a day, even if people can't manage the whole rosary, doing one good decade where you're really you're meditating on the mystery, that deepens the old-fashioned devotion to the rosary and makes it new.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of the strategy of the book, too. Things like the sign of the cross. There's a meditation on what the sign of the cross really means. If we made it with real meaning and intention, it would be different for all of us. Same thing with the Our Father. There's one of the devotions is pray the Our Father three times a day, but slowly, really thinking about each word and what it means, and then a meditation about what it really means that in many cases we miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, these are some ways to freshen up some of those devotional patterns that we've had for years.
You know, one of the things that I did several years ago, and I've been doing it ever since, is on my way to work, I pray a chaplet of Divine Mercy. And it's kind of interesting because we always say, well, I don't have time to pray. Well, if you shut off the radio and take 5-10 minutes and pray a chaplet of Divine Mercy, it's easily done. And you do it every day, and it becomes part of your routine. And guess what? When I'm driving to work, I'm not as anxious. I'm not as mad. I end up getting at work. I'm pretty good mood. So just a little thing like a quick chaplet is something you can add with very little problem.
Absolutely. And guess what? That's one of my suggestions in there. Not to turn off the radio in the car and to use that time to do some prayer or do some listening to Catholic radio or listening to an audio book of Lives of the Saints or something like that.
Mm-hmm. The book is 40 Days, 40 Ways, A New Look at Lent, and it's available everywhere. It's on Servant Books. You can get it at their website or at your favorite Catholic bookstore, or you can certainly order it on Amazon as well. I want to talk a little bit about this pilgrimage that you have coming up, and it's coming up here pretty quickly in April. Tell us a little bit about
April 15th. That's tax day. Get a lot of taxes in, and then we take off to the Holy Land for 11 days. We're walking the footsteps of Jesus. We sail the Sea of Galilee. We sing Christmas carols. I know it's Easter time, but in Bethlehem, you sing Christmas carols all around the year. So we'll be in Bethlehem. We'll be on top of Mount Tabor, having our own little mountaintop experience, the top of Mount Carmel. It really is a life-changing experience, it is very safe there. It's safer there than in the United States, honestly and truly. The statistics tell you that. And I've been there now and taken my kids, my daughters, my mother, my wife wouldn't do that if it weren't safe. So it is really a life changer. You never read the Bible the same way again as you go. So we'd love to have people come. Come to dritaly.com. That's dritaly.com. That's on my website. You can download the form, the information, get all the particulars, pricing, and all that. But you got to let us know soon if you want to come. You can call the number that's on the website. Because we're going to be filling up very quickly.
Very quickly. And it's only a couple of months off. So if somebody
That's
is
right.
listening and they're interested, there'd be a time to go. Dritaly.com. Dritaly.com. Tell us a little bit about the website, Dr. Italy. I know we hear you on the air a lot. Tell us a little bit about what people can find there.
Well, there's about 1,500 pages worth of resources, but fortunately, they're categorized in the library. So if you want something on the Eucharist, you just go to the Eucharist library. If you want something from the early church fathers, pick one, like Saint Augustine or Saint Athanasius or somebody like that. Well, we have a library for each one of those guys, but there's short things that are absolutely applicable to everyday life, not ponderous tomes that no one has time to or the ability to wade through. So that's kind of the idea of the website. It's resources to help people grow in their faith, and actually resources to help them even learn the faith for the first time. We're going to be increasingly evangelistic in this time of the new evangelization. There's podcasts on there. There's videos as well as text. And there's a lot of books and resources that you can buy as well on drlee.com, including this new book, 40 Days, 40 Ways. And the nice thing about getting it from dritaly.com is it comes autographed.
Wow, so, there you go.
There you go. So that's another way to get the 40 Days, 40 Ways. One thing I'll just mention, too, about 40 Days, 40 Ways is that it is also on Kindle. So the people who like to read electronically can get it from Amazon. And they can also get an audio book if they want to listen as they drive instead of listening to the radio. So that's available on CD and soon on audible.com. You know, people listen to books on their phones these days, if you believe that. So I'm doing that these days myself.
Sure do.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And I want to thank you so much for taking a little time out of a busy day to spend us with it here on Finding God's Grace. 40 Days, 40 Ways, A New Look at Lent. It's on Servant Books, available at your local Catholic bookstore. Or you want to download one of those electronic copies and start reading it today. Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio has been our guest. And Marcelino, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you.
A pleasure being with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.